This is Maryland Viewpoints, an in-depth discussion of the events and issues impacting our state. Now, from the studios of the Maryland News Network, this is Maryland Viewpoints with Meredith Marks.
Welcome to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks, and this week we are talking to a comedian, fried chicken and latkes, an actress. She starred on ABC's Head of the Class and Showtime's Rude Awakening, an author, Jokes My Father Never Taught Me, a singer, an icon's daughter, someone who identifies with a few different cultures and races, and now wanting to add City Council 3rd District member to her list, Miss Rain Pryor.
Hello.
Hello. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's
Did
a lot.
Did I cover all of it?
Covered a lot.
It is that, so yes. Good to have you here on our show.
Likewise. Thank you.
You and I met a few years ago when I was DJing and you were a comedian during this other charity event. And
during another lifetime,
another
really.
Lifetime. Yes. It was 2011.
Oh, yeah. That was another lifetime.
Oh, my. And right off the bat, I felt this energy from you. Aww. I felt you were so humble. I'll
Thank
always
you.
Remember this. You were Aww. So humble, but you were really loving the life around you and you were embracing it. And I could feel that. I felt your energy. So
Thank you
when I
that.
Saw that you were running for City Council 3rd District, I actually sat at my computer and I smiled because I would have never thought, Rain Pryor, but it makes sense.
Thank you.
It makes
Thank
total
you.
Sense. So, give listeners just a little glimpse into your life growing up and how that shaped who you are today. Give them a little background on you.
Well, my dad is famous, iconic Richard Pryor, and he left us when I was 6 months old. And I grew up with my blonde hair, blue eyed Jewish mother who decided she was going to be a black militant and raised me on her own. And we struggled and survived and came out the other end. And I think for me being raised in two different cultures and also having a mom who was willing to embrace my black culture or African-American culture and also my dad being the activist he was in terms of his comedy shaped me to kind of be a very honest and brutally honest person. It's very hard for Pryors in general, the kids, if you ask any of us to tell you a story, to like make something up or... It's like what you see is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
We were raised to fight for truth and to fight for justice and to be authentic in everything that we do, no matter what. And that the truth always will come out anyway and will prevail somehow. And I think as an adult, it kind of set me up to kind of want to have that in my life, to have structure of honesty and truth in my existence around me. I never wanted to be. It's just like what you just said about me was just so lovely, by the way, to say that I was humble and nice, but we were raised that way. We were raised that everybody is a part of where you're at. So you can't look at somebody differently because you could be not where you are. Do you know what I mean? So
yes.
You have to have respect for everybody and everyone's a part of the journey. And I kind of have that in my life today. I mean, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I am an activist in what I do. And this, even the work that I still create in entertainment is about social justice. I deal a lot with race and racism and how to have the conversation around that to bring us together. And we're best then I'm living here in Baltimore, Maryland, to kind of have that all lead me to go, okay, I see something that's not working and could be better for us. And I'm hearing, because I'm willing to listen to the people around me, talk about what their needs are. And I relate and I empathize and I have compassion. And I say, how can I make that conversation happen and bring about results? And I thought, you know, here I am jumping into politics of all
crazy.
Things as
Tell-
not a politician, which is great,
right?
You know, because I don't need anything from this other than to see my community thrive and be great, because it benefits my child who's growing up, it benefits other people's kids who are coming up, it benefits the elders as we call them, you know, it benefits them as well if we all can have a conversation around crime, education, you know, property tax, what are we looking at? Small business, you know, it helps to have someone who's willing not to be afraid to address these issues for everybody to thrive.
Tell me and tell everyone about the journey of how you came to Baltimore. And then we want to ask the famous question.
Yes.
Why Baltimore? Because you have chosen. It is a choice.
It is a choice.
You were not born and raised here.
No.
So it is a choice that you are making to come here and make it your home.
So I came here for the first time. I came here in 2004 to perform at Morgan State University. I did my one-woman show. It happened to be at the same time. I think Cosby was doing a show and I had half of his audience. It was like a miracle to have the place almost totally packed.
And now you would
show.
Have his entire audience.
Right. Right. Yeah, basically. Oh, yeah. Boom, boom. And yeah. And so I loved it. And I had two friends here that I had met previously in Edinburgh, Scotland, of all places, who lived here.
Love it.
And so in 2006, and it was right after my dad died, I made a decision, and I was going through a divorce. I made a decision to leave Los Angeles, kind of put entertainment in its box somewhere. And I was like, I want a life outside of this. I want to not be another statistic and grow my own life as Rain. And I came here. And what was interesting, I was reading this book by Octavia Butler, to be honest, and she's a black science fiction writer. And in that, she was writing about Maryland at the time in this book I was reading called Kindred. And I kind of fell in love with the glorification and kind of the fantasy of what Maryland would be like. Come to find out, my grandfather in the 1920s worked in the shipyards here. I still have cousins that live in Pikesville and other parts of Baltimore. And my great-great-grandfather played the hippodrome. Horn at the Hippodrome.
Wow.
And then my grandmother on my dad's side, my great-grandmother Mama, who ran a brothel later on, used to live on President Street in 1935.
Wow.
And then, wait, it gets deeper than that. I have family priors that came over here in the early 1800s to settle in Maryland, period.
Wow.
So I have a connection here, which I didn't realize I had here.
Isn't that the coolest,
right?
Coolest thing?
And so I love it here. I love that I have my family. I love that I have this extended family. I love that I created this life that I wanted, which was to be a mom, to be a good wife, to be a good neighbor, to have really personal, authentic experiences. And I do. I call this my home.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
So you're running for Baltimore City Third Council.
Yes, I am.
What made you decide to run?
You know, it first started off with me championing for my daughter, who was actually being bullied at school for a year. And also listening after that, listening to literally hundreds of parents from Baltimore City to Howard County that were dealing with very heavy bullying experiences and not getting results from the school system. And I went on television and I decided for the first time to actually use Rain Pryor as leverage to get coverage that maybe something would get done. And it did. It was towards the end of the school year, but the school changed some stuff around and started to address that. It made it a little easier. Then school ended and it was the conversation around what's next and hearing more and more from parents that this wasn't ending for them. This was continuing. And so I began to be more vocal and more vocal and start to address things like, you know, why does the administration get paid more, but our teachers and our kids are suffering? We need to change policy around bullying. So I drew up a proposal and I was like, well, maybe if I ran for city council, I would be given that platform to speak on it.
Yes.
And then I looked around even further. And so it was really my daughter and that experience and listening to other parents. And then listening to the community members talk about the rise of crime in our neighborhood. Now, the third district is known at times to not be a place of high crime. I will say it started to go up within the last year and a half. We just literally a month ago had a murder right down the street from where I live. Two of them. Well, there you have it. Yeah. And police were literally running in our backyard because we live right up against a cemetery. So this has become very personal to me. It's become personal to the people in my neighborhood. What are we going to do about this? We feel nobody is listening to us. And I said, well, that I can do. You know, I might not, you know, be able to be on that big series at the moment, but this is heart. This is truth. This is family. This is like extended beyond me. And I'm like, I can handle this. This is something I think that, you know, when you have visibility, this is what you should use it for, to make positive change, the ripple of change in the world.
And you're doing it in such a positive way. And that's okay to use your name as a platform, because a lot of people do that to be able to make a positive change.
Yeah, but I think you have to know what you're talking about. And yes. I'm glad I do.
Yes.
I'm glad I have these relationships within our community to make that happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are going to hear all about what you are thinking about, lady.
Great.
What you want to make changes for and what you stand for.
Right
on. But first, we're going to take a quick break. Maryland Viewpoints will continue after this.
If you have uninsured auto fines you owe to the Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration, please listen. The Fine Fix program can help eliminate 80% of your fines. 80%. Through a partnership between the MVA and Maryland Auto, Fine Fix helps Maryland drivers get rid of their uninsured auto fines, get back in good standing, and get the insurance they need. To see if you are eligible, visit finefix.maryland.gov. The Fine Fix program ends soon, so don't wait. Visit finefix.maryland.gov.
Owning an LS tractor is about a lot of things.
For me, it's about lift capacity.
It's about the hydraulics.
Owning an LS, it's about how well it's made.
Steel, baby.
More features.
Standard features.
It's about the land.
Making it better.
Having something to pass down.
It's about owning the best.
Find your local LS dealer at lstractorusa.com and see what it's about for you.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
Wait, 10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks. We've been chatting with Rain Pryor, who is running for Baltimore City Council 3rd District. When you say you want to build up our supports for all youth, and that would translate into less violence in the city, can you go into that and explain that a little bit?
What I think we need to do is look at our overall policies around violence and bullying in our schools. I know as city council person, that's not my place to do. But I know being loud enough, there's somebody out there who will listen. So I want to let people know I'm aware, as 3rd District city council person, I don't have control over that. I do have control over, in terms of being able to cast my vote in funding. That I know. But what I can do is voice that we need a change in that area to really address the issues surrounding our kids and the violence in our schools, creating a safe place for them, allowing our teachers to have the supports that they need. I'm watching our schools deteriorate around us. I'm watching our kids not have a place to go to funnel this energy. So what do you have? We have them running on the streets. We have them getting into trouble. And then we want to blame everybody, this and that, but we're afraid to hold accountability. We're afraid to even use that word, and especially on kids of color. We're afraid to say we need to hold them accountable. And I'm saying, no, we can say that, and we need to put mental health supports in place, and we need to understand where those kids come from, where they're growing, what they're growing up in, to make a difference. And we're allowed to give them consequences for their actions. I'm not saying lock them up. I'm not talking about, you know, I've talked a lot about having zero tolerance. My zero tolerance isn't about locking kids up. My zero tolerance is about, again, the word accountability, holding them accountability, giving in-school consequences. The last resort should be trying to get kids back on the street. The resort should be keeping them in, but redirecting, focusing on what's making that person angry enough to want to bully or lash out on another kid. How can we empower our teachers to have control over their classrooms? How can we give administrators what they need so they can actually follow a policy instead of picking and choosing what they follow? And that's what we have now. We have they can pick and choose. And I'm talking about let's make it across the board so there's no gap. We know exactly the protocols that are in place and we protect all kids. We protect the bullies. We protect the kids being bullied. We protect the teachers or the parents that have the, you know, we're it's a holistic issue.
Do you see that a lot of times, and as a parent, I see this, sometimes the kids that are bullying are the ones that really need the help because they're having a tough home life. And is that maybe one of the things that you would look into in terms of the assistance through the schools and the counseling? And what kind of vision do you have of getting the kids that are being the bullies and the kids that are being bullied? What does that look like?
One of the things that was supposed to be put in place actually last year was that most of the schools throughout Baltimore City were supposed to have mental health workers in the schools. I think, you know, they have this idea and it's called restorative justice. And the idea of that is that we sit around and we talk about our problems. I think you need to have, if you're going to have restorative justice practices, you really need to have special training in that, at least 16 hours of comprehensive documented training. So when you go into a meeting, especially when violence has been brought up already, or there's a real serious threat, bullying, harassment, sexual harassment, that you have the tools to know whether this is an actual restorative justice issue that we can solve, or do we need to go to the next levels? But always have a mental health practitioner in place that can intervene, because that's really important. We're talking about the mental health of our kids here, and especially in certain environments that they grow up in. Everyone needs it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Are you looking to be, as third district council person, are you looking to focus a little bit on mental health outside of schools as well, or just solely inside the schools?
So part of what I want to do as third district council person as well is talk about bridging the divide between our police department, which goes into what you're saying, our police department and the community. One of the things Baltimore police are doing now is they have LEED, which is law enforcement. And the law enforcement has a program where they deal with addiction and the people on the street. So if they see someone being addicted, rather than incarcerate them, they're bringing in social workers. They're bringing in substance abuse counselors on the spot to deal with those people while they then can go off and deal with the sellers. And I want to see that implemented throughout the city of Baltimore, not just downtown, but bring it outward, bring it to our community, because we have problems with that right now, especially on Grindon and Hartford Road, to bring in someone that's able to have the social worker and law enforcement and the community to talk about it, to do something together. You know, we can't just keep brushing everything off and saying, okay, well, the social worker will deal with it, or, you know, mental health professionals will deal with it. We have to do it as a community together. That's how you solve these issues. If you remember, at least for me growing up, everyone on the block was your parent, no matter who you were. Everybody knew everybody. They knew where you were. We need to bring that back in to play, to make our communities really work and thrive. And so I really believe in having a conversation with law enforcement and keeping that dialogue going as a community with each other and what's going on, and putting those mental health pieces in place as a part of it. It all works together. Again, it's a holistic issue with a holistic solution.
And it's that accountability that you were talking about within the community. And as you're saying, things are getting passed, you know, it's this person's problem. It's this person's problem.
Exactly.
And if that person doesn't take care of it, or this person doesn't take care of it, your whole mentality is really bringing the community together to be accountable for each other and
absolutely
within.
And it's why I'm running for city council, because I'm like, someone needs to step in and say, we can do this.
Yes.
We can make positive change here. It takes the ripple and it will spread out, you know. And I'm excited about the opportunity to maybe implement LEED into our community.
Do you think that creating more community accountability and working closer with the police officers will help to battle crime and get that rate down?
I think it can. I think it can, definitely. You know, yesterday I had the opportunity to be a part of listening to the commissioner, listening to police officers, especially Officer Cooper, Officer Hardy, and talk about the fact that they want to be involved in the community. They want to know the people in it, the neighbors, what's going on, and work together, and how it's also up to us, the community, to make that positive change and to participate. And so for me, talking to my neighbors, talking to constituents, as they say, you know, they're willing. Everyone's willing to come to the plate. Everyone's willing to have the conversation. Everyone's, you know, it's not about, again, no one wants to see, you know, people incarcerated for marijuana, for certain things that aren't, they don't consider violent. What they want to see is the people who have been on, who've already had federal gun charges put against them, to have actually a sustained time that they spent incarcerated. So you're not allowing them on the streets 2 weeks later, then they commit murder. That's what we've been seeing.
Yes.
So we're asking for fair and just, you know, prosecution. We're asking for mental health supports to be in place on the streets when it comes to, you know, substance abuse issues, which a lot of the crime stems out of the substance abuse issue.
Yes.
So we want to deal with all of that. You have to face it as a community. You have to face it head on, not be afraid. I get to the disdain for the department at the moment. I get the idea there's been a lot of corruption, and so that separation between individuals in the community and our PD. But again, that divide is creating more of a divide. We still need to have the conversation, even if it's uncomfortable. And everyone has to be willing to have it.
Yes. Tell me about your views on lowering the taxes in small businesses.
You know, right now what we're seeing, and this is across Baltimore City, what we're seeing is a lot of small businesses closing. We're seeing a lot of residents leaving, moving elsewhere, either moving to the county or moving outside of the state. We have to create incentives to keep our small businesses here, to keep them open, to give them the recognition that they deserve. You know, in my district, there is a person who's supposed to do publicity for the stores and the shop owners. We need to make sure that they're doing the publicity so people know that these businesses are here. We need to see where we can, you know, lower taxes to keep our small business owners there and even and our residents, period, in Baltimore City. So, yeah, that might mean, you know, and that might mean making sacrifices elsewhere in terms of taxes. But we have to be willing to do what it takes to keep people here, or we won't have a Baltimore. We can't afford to have people leave. We can't afford to run our small businesses out for big corporation. Baltimore was built on small business. My community was built on those families starting up businesses that generation after generation has stayed for.
That's what makes it special and
exactly.
unique.
Exactly. And we need to keep that here.
Absolutely. Sum up for me, in a perfect world, what would Rain Pryor's vision be for Baltimore in 2025?
In 2025, my vision would be that we look around and we see how beautiful and clean that we're invited, that people want to stroll around in the different neighborhoods and get part of the arts and culture that exist in these pockets in our community, and that everyone is together doing what's right for the city and prosperous financially, economically, that we're growing here.
Absolutely. We've loved having you. It's Pryor4citycouncil.com.
Thank you.
I love your vision. I love
thank
your
you.
Passion.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's a beautiful thing, and this is why I had you on the show.
appreciate
you. You can go on Facebook, Committee to Elect Rain Pryor and Rain Pryor and Pryor Productions to see what Rain has been up to. This is Maryland Viewpoints, a presentation of the Maryland News Network, heard on radio stations across Maryland. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily the views of radio station ownership, management, or advertisers. Join me next time for Maryland Viewpoints. I'm Meredith Marks.